Seeing we have a quorum, the meeting will now reconvene.
You're talking to people like staff from the station about what was going on.
The first report will be the Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Finance Committee would lay out its report, which I've distributed to everybody this morning. And anyone who wanted it sooner got it, and I also
will
posted
we hold it.
It
down in the audience?
I also posted it last week after it was fully vetted by the Finance Committee. And let me first of all recognize and thank all of the members of the Finance Committee because this is a joint report. This is not an individual report. This was a report that was vetted fully at subcommittee level, at committee level, and then final report level, and multiple times. So I'd like to thank the Finance Committee, which includes Casey McFaul at KPFK, the treasurer there, Marnie Tattersall at KPFA, Baruti Bidiako here in New York, Jane Gatewood at WPFW, Sandy Weinman down in Houston, and then the Finance Committee members, Laverne Williams, Patty Heffley, and my apologies to Patty, I have misspelled her name in the report, Mark Roberts, Dave Adelson, and I'd also like to extend a special thanks to Lonnie Hicks and Dan Coughlin, who have sat in on all the meetings, despite their busy schedules and having been pulled in 10 different directions for other demands for the foundation. We've had a lot of meetings, and they've been there, and they've been critical to the process. So my sincere thanks to all of the people involved. I'd like to first lay out, and I'm maybe being a little bit optimistic here, some things that may not be as controversial as other things, but, about famous last words, but I'd like to first to direct your attention to NFC budgetary procedures, which would be on the, I unfortunately didn't number the pages, 6th page, beginning with NFC budgetary procedures. Do you need one, Patty? Well, I handed mine out this morning. Yeah, there's... I think Marie has the extras.
I'm hogging them all up.
Does everybody have a copy? Okay, if everybody's got a copy, let me direct your attention and lay out the first motion relating to the 2005 budget, which is number one under NFC budgetary procedure motions. This is a motion that was passed as amended. Casey McFaul objected, and Dave Adelson and Patty Heffley abstained. The purpose of this motion is what we discovered at the very beginning of the year in the budgetary process was, very simply stated, that we did not know what the correct version of the 2005 budget was. And the reason this occurred is because when the PNB adopted the 2005 budget last year, it adopted it with some reservations to look at some additional issues surrounding the WBAI budget, changes in the training line item for national board expenses, and changes in funding for legal expenses. And because those were unknown items at the time of the adoption of the budget, those items were deferred. And what we realized is that after they were deferred, the board never came back and actually adopted the 2005 budget. And so what the first motion is simply to retroactively adopt the 2005 budget in the version from November 11th, 2005, which is the version that includes the changes for the WBAI budget, the changes in training and funding for legal expenses, as well as some corrections on the KPFA total income, which we had an error to accommodate some additional revenue, and the PRA total income, which was reduced by $39K, and capital was reduced by $24K. that the reason this is important is that if you go to your budget that is in your packet, you have to be able to compare to a stable single line item in order to understand what the forecasting is. And we had actually five different versions of the budget, and no one could really discern which version was the right one until what we did was referred this matter to a working group that had historical knowledge. Mark Roberts was on that working group. Marnie Tattersall was on that working group. Lonnie Hicks was on that working group. I was on that working group, and I believe Casey was on that working group as well. And we reconstructed from what happened last year what the best information was for the November and determined that the November 11th budget was clearly the budget that we were operating off of. In order to understand the current budget and work accurate forecasting and understand the forecasting and the changes and the variances and have a reasonable communication about the budget, we have to have an adopted 2005 budget. So I move resolution number one, which adopts the 2005 budget with the reservations listed in the amendment that include the changes for the WBAI budget, changes in the training line item, changes in funding for legal expenses, along with the corrections on KPFA total income and PRA total income.
Is there a second?
We are talking from NFC budgetary procedure motions, which is like on the fourth page. I'm trying to start with the easy stuff first. That's my hope that this is an easy one to retroactively adopt the 2005 budget.
Third page from the rear.
Third page from the rear.
Top of the page.
So I move adoption.
Is that a second? It's been moved and seconded. We adopt the resolution that says, be it resolved that this Finance Committee recommend to the PNB that the November 11, 2004 presented budget as stated above be ratified as the network budget for review and approval by the PNB at the April 2005 meeting in New York City. Are there any questions? Yes.
Just trying to follow everything that you said, Mike. Now, this budget you've looked at.
Yes.
You've made corrections where you saw corrections were due, and you have gotten back with the CFO, and he agrees, maybe, you can tell me, to the corrections, and now both of you, the Finance Committee and the CFO, believe that they have a working budget for the year that we are now in.
Yeah, let me be clear. Lonnie is actually the one who made the corrections, and Lonnie is the one who identified where the variances were from the original presented budget last year. And this was done in concert with the CFO to identify exactly what the working budget was.
The answer is yes.
So the answer is that both you guys
are comfortable. Sorry, I'll try not to be too much of a politician.
With the budget as revised.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, are there any objections? Hearing none, it is approved. Go to the next one.
Well, I was right. I did pick an easy one. Number two is a reaffirmation of a motion and a policy that was adopted by the IPNB, and we believe that the official PNB needs to ratify the policy of maintaining a surplus reserve of 1 month within each fiscal year. By the end of each fiscal year. That's what the motion reads. So I move adoption of number two.
Is there a second?
I second that.
Yes.
No.
Oh, all right. Don't require a second. Are there any objections?
Well, a question.
I'll try to be shorter this time.
Okay. Because I think that this was a problem that was brought up time and time again as to, and correct me if I'm wrong, if the one-month reserve is a one-time reserve or if it is a one-month reserve every year. Now, I mean, that was the problem. I just want to make sure that that was resolved and that you can tell us what that one-month reserve means.
What the one-month reserve means is having a one-month reserve at the end of the fiscal year. That's all that it means. Now, you're addressing, Donna, the issue of surpluses and what to do with surpluses if there is one. That matter is sitting in working group, and we hope to come with a proposal on how to deal with that at the next meeting.
Actually, that's not what I was addressing. I was addressing Dave Adelson's concern, if I'm not misquoting him, that the CFO had, you know, it could have been a misunderstanding, that the CFO has actually asked the stations to accumulate 13 months each and every year instead of this 1 month that keeps, you know, it's just a 1 month that we have at the end of the year. Not that every fiscal year of 12 months we're trying to accumulate expenses or money for 13 months, but we just do it one time.
Yes.
Thanks to Donna for raising that. Yeah, we were able to clarify it to my satisfaction. Lonnie and I think I finally came to a meeting of the minds on this. What I was concerned about was whether or not what was being asked, as Donna said, was that each station every year generate 13 months of revenue in 12 months so that they would have a one-month surplus each year, as opposed to as long as by the end of every year you've got that 1 month. In other words, so not that at the end of 5 years, if you never spent it, you would actually end up with 5 months in the bank, but that you end up with 1 month. But we also agreed, as Mike said, so I think we're clear on that. Every year, by the time you reach September 30th, you should have 1 month reserve in the bank, and that should be reflected in the budgeting. But in addition, we've agreed that we need to try and be developing surpluses for other eventualities and have a policy around surpluses. But I think we're clear now on that. Is that your understanding, Lonnie? You and I actually agree?
Steve?
Quick question. What's the intent of this?
The intent of it is financial stability.
So to make sure that there's a month in the bank as a new fiscal year is entered, or is there always to be a month of surplus on hand?
You want to answer that, Lonnie?
Sure. The intent is that at Pacifica, there is income coming in only really every 3 months. So you have to have saved up 1 month at September 30th in order to have enough working capital to carry each station in that period, September 30th to October 30th. So if you don't, you have to have saved that and have it in the bank in order to pay your normal operating in that month where there is no income in the, for largely in the month of October. So the purpose is to make sure there's cash on hand to take care of that next month's operating expenses in the next fiscal that comes on hand. That's really what it is.
Any other questions? Bob?
Lonnie, can I just ask you to clarify that a little bit more? So if at the end of, let's say, this year on September 30th, Station X has 1 month's reserve, and then they fall short in the October drive, let's say, and they use that reserve to cover operating costs, then is it replenished? How does that process work?
Well, let's take the negative example. I'm not sure this is on, but let's take the negative example. Suppose at September 30th, your station has no cash in the bank. It will have, of course, operating expenses in the month of October and no income. That's bad. You don't want that. It's very much like having to save up a month's rent in the month in which you will be unemployed. So you have to have it before that month comes around. Now, some stations will, in the month of October, for example, not reach their goal, right? And they will be, instead of, you know, 1 million, they'll have 900,000. They will look to be okay for 2.5 months, but true, at the end of that period, they will be short cash. And the same problem will come up again because they have to have enough money from that drive to last 3 months. Sometimes when a drive fails, say $100,000. If a drive is short, $100,000 in the month of October, that means 3 months later that they will be short on that last month because that money will not last. So that's, we're continually facing that problem in the network.
Have there been no other questions?
Move adoption.
Are there any objections? No objection. It's therefore adopted.
Okay. Now that we have adopted the first two, what you have now created is a budget that's before you that has the 2005 adopted budget, as we've just done, and the forecasting lines for the next remaining months, okay? And the forecasting lines also now include the need for the one-month surplus at the end of the fiscal year, okay? So what the next motion does is also provide that what be reported in the budget is any variance in the forecasting plus or minus on these line items at 10%, any 10%, and then a comment column is created in the new budget format. As you can see, there's a big column with comments to explain the variance. This is an attempt to make the budget more user-friendly to you, so that you could look at the variances, see what the staff has to comment as to the explanation for those variances. And that is essentially what Motion 4 is, and I move adoption.
All right. William?
What happened to Motion 3?
Well, I'm going to get to Motion 3. Motion to 3, as you can see, has been referred back to a working group, but I can explain why after we do Motion 4. Or if you want me to explain why.
Any objection?
I got a question. Excuse me. Okay. Just from what you... The budget that you're presenting, this long sheet, the first column says year-to-date actual, and on top of that says year-to-date fiscal year 2005. Now, the actual compared to the budget, I don't understand the actual. We've only been in the fiscal year October, November, 6 months. So... explain that $6 million for listener support.
That is our income for the first 6 months based upon the actual budget that you just adopted 5 minutes ago. Okay? And the actual budget, if you go over to the column at the end of the page under actual total, this column right here, this first column after comments, that's the actual budget for the year. So that tells you we're about halfway through the year. Our actual budget for the year is 12.4. We're at 6.1. We're about 50% there. The variance is 0.23% over what we've budgeted in terms of what we're forecasting overall, what we've taken in, and what we expect to take in. So in other words, we're on budget. Does that make sense?
Through February.
Yes. And it's constantly reforecasting because we're nonprofit. We're fundraising. Fundraisings are successful or not successful. So Lonnie is constantly doing a monthly report with new forecasts.
So the year to
this
date,
is Lonnie's work, not mine.
The year-to-date budget is really only based on those particular months.
Those months based upon what was adopted 5 minutes ago.
William? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And Lonnie. The annual total? Oh, do you have more to say?
No, that's fine.
Lonnie? No, it's Lonnie.
No, she's happy.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll be happy too. Annual total then is that actual column is in forecasting based on what we've been doing.
Yes, I mean, Lonnie, do you want to explain?
If that's the case,
I don't
you don't have
I
to explain
your
it. I just wanted to make sure that.
Yes or no?
Yes.
That's fine.
Thank you. Are there any objections to this motion? Hearing none, it's approved.
The motion is motion number four.
For 2 minutes.
I have a question.
You have a question? I'm sorry.
Yeah. First of all, I don't think this is.
Your mic's not working?
Turn it on.
You got it turned on?
Come on, radio.
You turned it off.
Come on, radio.
All right, there. Okay, my question is, it says that any variance greater than 10%, that's per line item.
Correct? Yes.
And I thought that there was a threshold that it was over $1,000. It's now 10% flat? It's saying any variance. So that means if we budgeted $100 for napkins and we spent $120, then it generates a comment from the, I guess, one of the stations or the national office. And so my concern is that's, I like the rain, but I think that's a tight rain.
I think, Mark, that is covered in one of the 7 resolutions up front, the variance.
As opposed to this, okay, so it's covered somewhere else?
Yeah. It's covered in resolution number 2 on the first page.
Okay, all right. So this is so that this is in keeping with that.
Yes.
Okay, all right, all right.
And in that regard, the third motion right before fourth is to study whether 10% is a reasonable amount or not with regard to those subject matters, and okay. We're still in working group on that.
All right, thanks.
Sir,
Point of information, Mike. When you say this budget greater than 10%, is that, you know, each line item is budgeted a certain amount. Are you talking about the aggregate, when the aggregate of the total budgeted amount is greater than 10%, or each line item?
Each line item.
Each line item.
Yes.
Per month. Okay, per month. Now, suppose that you have a line item that's $1,000, and you go above it, 10% of that is $100. And you're asking them to go ahead and re-forecast the whole thing for $100? It will cost you $10,000 to $5,000 or $500 to re-forecast for a $100 item.
We're not asking for a reforecast.
Isn't that what it says?
Let me finish. We're not asking for a reforecast, and one of monthly expense line items, which is resolution number 2, which is we're going to take up in a minute, places a cap of $1,000 or greater. But all
or lesser. Whichever one it is, right?
Yeah, greater. But okay. But the issue is not that we're reforecasting. We're just giving a simple comment or an explanation for the variance.
Well, it says it shall be the policy of the PNB in the budget monitoring policy that each quarter the budget is to be reforecast when each one of these line items exceeds 10%.
Right.
Now, my question to you was, if you have $1,000 and you are 100% over it, you have to reforecast the whole budget?
Not the whole budget, just that line
item. For that line item?
Yeah, just that line item.
For $100?
Yeah.
Thank you.
But that does reforecast the whole budget because that's all linked in with all the other.
Linked into the whole thing.
Come on, radio.
Okay, Rob.
Come on, radio.
Respectfully, Mr. Chair, wouldn't it make more sense when the gross budget changes 10% that you do a reallocation in a narrative for what changed the gross budget rather than doing narratives for every single line item that changes 10%?
I don't think it would be helpful to do it
that
way.
Well, I've been a budget officer, and I can tell you it makes it easier for the people that are managing budgets.
The reason I think this way would be more helpful is that in understanding the changes in the forecasting on a station-by-station basis in terms of what's happening specifically, it gives us the best quality information possible, and I don't think management has an objection to providing this level of information.
Why is it better to have a narrative for every single line item than to have a narrative for something that changes your gross budget by 10%? You haven't explained that.
Well, we only have explanations for narratives that are changed at 10%. And if you look at this budget right now, it's not like there's an explanation on every line item. There are explanations where there are variances, and those explanations are provided in the comment line. It makes it easier for a board member who may not be as an accountant to understand why things are changing with a simple, short explanation of the reforecasting.
Dave?
Yeah, one of the issues is that when you go over the budget in the Finance Committee, when there is a big variance, the question naturally arises, what is it? And my recollection, and I'm sorry for not reviewing this carefully enough, was that in our discussion with the managers, we agreed that they would put a notation for significant items. And that, you know, because one of the ways our budgets work is, for example, the CPB money that comes in is budgeted as occurring evenly across the year, but in fact they come in lump sums. So you have a large variance every single month. Sometimes it's an over budget, sometimes it's an under budget. But my understanding was we worked out an agreement with the managers that they found acceptable. And maybe they should speak to it. But my memory of it was that we agreed that they would report things that were of significance as opposed to just clerical stuff simply to save time on our budget calls so we weren't asking the question, which is what happens. With respect to what Rob's asked, I want to point out that if you put a 10% threshold on the total budget of KPFK, then we would ask a question when something crossed a threshold of $300,000 or so, which doesn't seem very reasonable. I think there are, you know, large items. There's been one of these items that was referred back to working group had to do with 10% differences within overall categories, such as salaries and related administrative programming, et cetera. And even there, the question is, in the early going, I'd like to understand how spending happens. Even at the line item level, sometimes you can't exactly tell what's going on. And so this is just an attempt to improve communication and streamline it. And as I said, I thought we came to a mutually acceptable agreement. Maybe the managers can speak to this.
All right. Who's next? Oh, come on.
She's the manager.
I didn't see you.
She's the manager.
Oh, shit. I'm not keeping time for this thing.
You're not
keeping a stat. You want me to keep a stat?
No.
Mike?
I have to turn it.
Just bring it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Breathe deeply now.
Yes, we did talk about this with the finance committee and the GMs, and I think David, we might be. Our understanding was 10% on the budget, and in addition, that we would report on changes if we add staff or make staff changes in our monthly reports to the listeners. Another comment that I remember I made was to ask that local stations with their finance committees meet regularly so that at that point we can go over any variances in the budget rather than do 10% of each line item. So there might be a misunderstanding here, but our understanding is 10% of the budget, and I know I speak for all the GMs. Thank you.
Lonnie, then Mark and William.
Well, my suggestion is that 10% of every line item that might be over $1,000 is burdensome, and I wouldn't want to have to track down a general manager for a comment on a $100 variance item. That is simply never done, and I've been doing this a long time, longer than I care to mention. What I propose is that we do each category, and that would be motion number 3. I think that what we should do is look at bring motion number 3 back, so you can have variations in the category, in salaries, in administrative, in programming and development. It also is our audit categories, and that way we can explain it to the auditors that way too. So my proposal is that that we not, because I think we did have a $1,000 notation in that motion number 2, and I think that it probably is not stated exactly as many remember. So my proposal is that that we not at this point pass on motion number 2, and that we await a motion number 3 and have that be worked out in the working group, and have that come back to the board?
I guess my only problem with that, Lonnie, is that you and Marnie reported this motion without objection to the main committee. And, you know, I thought you were pretty comfortable with that. You and Marnie actually drafted this motion.
I drafted number 3.
You drafted number 4 as well.
Yeah. Well, let's say that number 4 is showing flaws and that we not maintain a flawed item if we don't have to. And we should be willing to look at something that will meet all concerns and be flexible so that folks can get the information.
Okay, William, Mark, and Sarv.
I'm not comfortable with what just happened. That a report just came, and it sounds like there's discord amongst the folks who authored it in regard to that particular item. So, I mean, I think that we should try to agree on the items that the committee agrees on, and anything that there's disagreement around, let's just send it back to the committee, and we'll, I mean, because I think that this, it's a time thing now where we could continue debating it, but I don't think that we're armed to debate it. Let's let the finance committee continue hashing that particular item out and have them bring it back when they're ready.
Mark, Sarv.
Well, I was going to move it.
And Patty.
Yeah, I was just going to move that we send four back to the...
Why don't I pull it down and send it to the working group, to the working group.
Three and, you know, pull those okay.
To the... Okay. Let's do it that way.
You want to do it?
Yeah, I'll pull motion number four down and send it back to the working group, which
Thanks.
Is number three.
Thank you. All right.
Point of order.
Yes.
When we get these motions, could somebody read them? Because I'm not sure they're being read at the time that we're discussing them, and they're certainly sometimes not being read when we take the vote, and I think that is a proper procedure. Plus, all these people are here, and I don't think they really know what we're talking about, and the people that are listening on the stream, I think it would be good that they would hear the complete text so they can, you know, follow along.
Especially when the minutes will be transcribed.
Well, fortunately, okay, all of this is on my computer at home. So
you want to finish your report?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I think in trying to figure out what's the next easiest thing to do.
I'm sorry, I called on the.
I know Sarv and Fatty are on the stack. That's all.
Yeah. We pulled it, so
the motion is pulled. So I just let go.
He's gone. Yours was not on the motion.
Motion's pulled and referred back to working group.
It's been referred back to working group, so it's no longer there.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
I think I'd like now to move to the report from the National Finance Committee.
I did have something to say regarding the motion. I know we're going to pull it back, but I would just like to say that I think Rob Robinson made a point, and I think that if he could just perhaps send that to Mike so that we can consider the point that he had made about variances in terms of if it impacts the total budget by 10%, and then also that you have to understand when you do variance analysis, you have to hold one item, and you're looking at volume versus rate. So it's not real simple, but I think that's a good point, and we should consider that too.
I know Thank Rob's going to tell me about it.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, point of information?
Yes.
It's my understanding that we did not address motion number three. Is that true?
That's right.
Because it's still in working group. I just wanted you to know what was going on. That's just a report.
Yes.
Oh, number three is not being presented?
Yeah,
no,
actually,
it's
four
not
is now
presented.
With
number four.
Number four has been pulled back.
Okay.
Point of information.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, motion number two, Lonnie asked to put that back into the hopper as well.
It's been adopted. I don't think Lonnie asked for that. Lonnie wants that.
That's what it's been adopted.
Okay.
All right, Mike. A point of information, when people are speaking, can you guys use the microphone for streaming purposes?
Absolutely.
I'd like to now lay out the anti-racism and diversity feasibility impact statement. This is a report. It's kind of hard to read the whole report. I'd like to defer not reading it, if you don't mind. It is a report which there was a discussion in National Finance as to exactly what our mandate was, and we tried to fulfill that mandate as best as we understood. And the mandate was to develop a fiscal impact analysis of the hiring of two anti-racism and diversity coordinators, anti-racism and anti-oppression
Excuse
coordinators.
Me, Mr. Chair.
Last two pages of this report.
Yeah. Teresa just listened to the PNB meeting of 3 months ago, and in fact, what we forwarded to the Finance Committee is not what you considered. And I'd like to have her have an opportunity to tell us what really happened. Is that okay with people? So that we know really what you were charged to do before we discuss what you did discuss.
Will you?
Well, I have the transcription in my hand, and I don't know if you want it. I just got this, and as soon as I can go through it and make corrections to it. I can get it to you guys. I don't have a computer here, so anybody who wants to donate the laptop that I can use, I'll do it this weekend. And I'll cancel my plans tonight. But what I have is essentially there is Teresa's motion, and unfortunately that's six pages before the page I have in my hand.
I think she could sum it up, William, if we...
And, but I think that there was a motion that... Because I think that the motion you're going to bring up, it's a motion that Patty made.
There are two motions.
Okay. Well, the... But I just want to point out the motion that Patty made wasn't approved, and that motion was, I mean, it wasn't, it the vote for this particular item was so crazy that it was just all referred to committee. And I think what happened is that the Finance Committee got one of the motions down that was referred, and I don't think that there was any further discussion of Patty's motion, because the main motion that was referred was Teresa's motion. And the motion that Patty moved was the responsibilities of National Coordinator for Race and Nationality Policy Implementation will be assigned to a Human Resources Director and the qualifications desired incorporated in the search for that person. Pacifica's Human Resources Director will be trained and certified as an anti-oppression workshop trainer. The Human Resources Director will work closely with the Committee of Inclusion for implementation of related policies. That was the motion that Patty brought forth, and it was seconded, but by the end of that discussion, everything was basically referred to both the Finance Committee and the Ad Hoc National Committee of Inclusion. So there wasn't a particular mandate of, I mean, it wasn't clear which of those motions were sent, but they were just all kind of sent, and I don't know what the Finance Committee...
May I say something, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I think from what William Walker just read, somehow the Finance Committee felt that their charge was to find a way to finance these coordinators, and somehow the whole discussion as to whether this would go through the HR person was not even discussed. So I think you need to reevaluate the action that you took on that. And the other thing is that there was a motion that was passed when it had to do with financing. It was motion number 4, and the work group was asking for $135,000, and this is the motion that came out of the PNB meeting. Resolved that the national office shall develop a comprehensive strategy to create a diverse funding base for the full implementation of the race and nationality policy, including grants, large donors, targeted donors, special mailings, on-air funding, and other methods as appropriate, and will report its plan to the PNB for its review at the next regularly scheduled PNB meeting. And
did you say National Office or National Finance Committee?
National Office. Okay. Further be it resolved that wherever possible, funds for this purpose also be I don't have my reading glasses, provided from the minority station's designation entitlement from the CPB. And then Maria made an amendment, and that this fundraising shall be implemented by September 30th of 2005. So we haven't heard the national office's report, and I think this was my whole point on this resolution, that going to on-air fundraising before you do mailings, CPB requests, grants, is going about it the wrong way. And I think that it was a mistake for the finance committee to be feeling that its charge was to find funding for this, and to jump, especially when I heard the staff say that on-air fundraising is not, should not be the first solution to finding funds. And I'm sorry that you, because you left, you missed this whole discussion. Thank you for
Thank
your time.
You. Mark?
Actually, I was there for much of the discussion, but I will acknowledge that without the, you know, the transcriptions, it's hard to identify what the actual charge was to the Finance Committee regarding this broad range of motions that we passed that day with respect to race and nationality. So in light of that, it would seem to me that it would probably be prudent for us to to, you know, pull back our recommendations and reevaluate our original charge and then do it, you know, do it in light of those charges. And also wait to hear from the national office, according to what you just said, in terms of some of the financing, because you're right. We went right to hiring and how to do it and how to pay for it, given that we're going to do it this way. Because I was on the working group, and we started with those assumptions and then figured out how to pay for it. That's how we did it. So if, in fact, that wasn't the charge, then, yeah, that would be a problem.
Okay, LaVarne, Bob?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When we received the information from the working group and the Finance Committee, my understanding was that this was not a recommendation. This was just to look at the costs and see what it would cost to get this done. And I certainly didn't approve this in terms of recommending that this happen, because we didn't look at it in terms of, you know, other questions would have to be asked. Like you said, it would have to go to the national office, go to personnel, in terms of looking at the plan, in terms of how that fits in with the overall headcount or our employee plan for this year.
Mr. Chair, if I might, we were from the National Finance Committee's perspective, we were in good faith. We thought we'd been charged with something to do, and we thought that this board expected us to work, and so we worked. What this document, and we worked hard on this thing. It went through a working group and then went through a full committee process. What this is simply a fiscal impact statement. Exactly. It is not anything else. It is up to this board to decide what to do with regard to initiating the anti-racism and anti-diversity proposals. This is just information for you to have in terms of cost and how it would work on the timeline that we thought we were provided. Now, if you guys don't want to look at that or consider that because you think somebody else is supposed to do it, I'm happy to pull it down. I will do whatever the pleasure of the board is, but it's here, we can, and it's a report, and it's up to you guys.
Okay, William, Fadi, and Bob, you took your hand down. Okay, Bob, no, Bob was first.
All right.
Bob.
Thank you. Yeah, maybe I can clarify a few things. I listened to the tape this morning of our board meeting, and I think Teresa is largely correct about what happened, except that I distinctly heard the motion itself be passed outright and then referred to the Finance Committee. So in other words, the National Office was tasked to develop a fundraising plan with multiple streams, not simply on-air fundraising, but all the other methods that Teresa read from the motion. And perhaps Lonnie could address that, because I know that there have been discussions that the National Office has had with various staff about how to fulfill this request from the board. So that's point one. And point two is that I think that the National Finance Committee did do a good faith effort to fulfill the mandate of the board, which was to refer to them the fiscal feasibility of hiring the coordinators, to look at fundraising methods of different sorts. It turns out that because of the lack of minutes, they only understood that they were to look at on-air fundraising, but actually they were to look at the whole range of options that the national office was to have brought forward. But the other piece that didn't happen, and maybe Ray can address this, is that the National Committee of Inclusion, it was also referred simultaneously to that committee to look at the substance, as some people are raising, the issue of whether to hire two halftime coordinators and what their job descriptions would be, et cetera, et cetera. So Ray can address the fact that that committee hasn't actually met yet. So I think we have to look at all these things, and then we could go into certain things that are missing from the plan. Although there's a lot of good work that the National Finance Committee did, there's some pieces that are missing, actually, from what the board had approved, such as the anti-racism training, which was approved outright. It was not referred. It's established policy now that all five stations should immediately commence to retain anti-racism training teams, and that will need some amount of funding. So that needs to be plugged in. Also, now the board has passed the Blue Ribbon Commission on Affirmative Action, that needs a very minor amount of funding for phone calls and different minor expenses. And there's some other pieces that are missing from this. So I think it really needs to be referred back to Finance Committee to do more work and to allow the National Committee of Inclusion to act on the referral that they got at the last meeting but haven't been able to, because they haven't met. So could perhaps could Lonnie address that issue?
Maybe I could just pull it down and we could use it as a working document for all of the committees who need to rely upon it. It's a starting point and they can look at it as reference and expound upon it.
I would certainly agree with that if there are no objections. Well,
could I just ask Lonnie to address the work that the National Office has done already on the fundraising aspect?
If I could, let me have it be included in the report that I'll give, and then I'll address it then.
No objection? You can pull it.
Okay. We're moving right along here. The final part is going back to page one. And let me explain to you what page one through page four represent. What I presented here, what the committee has presented here, is after in December, I believe it was December, there were seven, December 20th, there were resolutions adopted by the PNB proposed by the National Finance Committee. And those resolutions are attached. The original resolutions are also attached to this report, so you can compare the original resolutions and how they read to the proposed amended resolutions as they read now. Did you want to add something, Mark?
It's already been pulled.
The original amendments. What transpired after that is that Dan and Lonnie came to the National Finance Committee and said that they felt like in the implementation of these resolutions that the management, specifically the general managers, should have had an opportunity to participate in the dialogue about the formulation of these financial disclosure resolutions. In good faith, the National Finance Committee agreed to a joint meeting with the general managers or the administrative council to go through each one of these resolutions and try to work out something that both the general managers could find palatable and would work well with the National Finance Committee and then hopefully for the PNB. We had two meetings, 4-hour installments, 8 hours altogether, to hash through these seven resolutions, and this is what we have. You have the originals to compare to, and let me then first move to the first resolution. Well, I'm not aware of how many times they passed them, but I know that they were at least passed once. Okay. Resolution number one relating to inter-unit transfers reads the same as the original resolution that was passed in December. There were no objections from anyone from the Administrative Council, and the language was left as is.
Point of order.
I don't think there's any reason to move adoption. It's already in place. I just wanted
it's
to report
it. It's just really,
that.
I mean, if you're listening on the webcast, you don't know what's being talked about. So, I mean, I know you don't want
to
read the whole
thing. Really want me to read this whole thing?
No, I know you don't want to read the whole thing, but just summarize it.
All right.
Like a brief point that says this is what that is. Because it's really not fair to someone who's not here.
Fair enough, William. Number one, relating to inter-unit transfers, is a provision that provides that the National Finance Committee be notified of unbudgeted interdivision transfer of funds and for the reason of the transfer, and if it's in excess of $5,000, it require approval of the National Finance Committee, and any unbudgeted interdivision transfer in excess of $20,000 shall require approval by the PNB. Sure. Yeah, good point, William. And so that's the guts of number one. It reads exactly as the original motion. It's already been adopted. No action needs to be taken. It was met on. There were no objections. So we can move on from that one because there's no real action that needs to be taken. It's already part of approved PNB policy, unless anyone has a question.
Question?
No, I don't have a question. I just want to make a comment before we move to the next item. Dave seems to have a question.
You have a question, Dave?
Yeah, well, one question eventually relates to the question of whether bill backs constitute inter-unit transfers. So if an event comes up and it's good, it's paid for out of national and there are bill backs, is that a form of inter-unit transfer? But we'll deal with that in Finance Committee. I just want to point out that that may be an issue at some point.
Okay.
Yeah. I apologize to the board. Unfortunately, the whole process we have set up for the reception was unraveling. So commended the immediate attention. Thanks to Dan's support, we resolved it. I just want to point out that I was absent when the discussion took place about the funding for the race and nationality. The original motion passed by the board said that all aspects of the race and nationality policy be funded in this fiscal year.
Point of order.
It's
point of order.
It's already been.
This is out of order.
No, I'm just making a point, and I want. I'm just asking.
Point of order.
What's the point of order?
Excuse me. I'm just asking that since I was out there to make the point that when the committee meets, that it consider the original motion that it be funded for this year. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, may I proceed?
Yes, please.
Thank you, sir. The next provision relates to monthly expense line items. And it was amended. The motion to amend was offered by Lonnie, and it was seconded by Marnie Tattersall of KPFA. And this provision specifically resolves that monthly expense line items that are 10% or $10,000, whichever is less, over budget for the month shall be explained in written notes that accompany the quarterly income statements. Now, the issue... Now, Rob has already brought up the issue of his concern about the 10%, and we've referred that to working committee. And it may very well be that that may be what you want to do with this. But the issue that was of concern to the general managers was that under the old resolution, they were reporting these matters on a monthly basis. And they thought that was just a little bit too much, too taxing in terms. And so... By a vote which I think was without objection, we agreed to move this reporting requirement to a quarterly basis requirement. And there's going to be a big quarterly report, four reports each year that would include this kind of information. Furthermore, we added some language that if there was any meaningful variances in the interim between these periods, that Lonnie, the chief financial officer, shall provide a short written explanation of the same to the NFC. It did pass without exception, with the exception of Patty's abstention. And the intent, I went back and listened to all of this myself, and I really wanted to make sure that the language on these things were correct when I presented them to you all. I listened to them three times, so I transcribed them verbatim from how they were passed. But there was an intent statement made that no objection was made to, that meaningful variances are left to the discretion of the general managers and the CFO so that they could report that to us. You all have a problem with the 10% issue, so that may be something to consider, but that's the second motion that we're presenting as modified.
On the stack, Wendy, William, Dave, Fadi, and Sarv.
Thank you, Ambrose. I'm kind of wondering, this is procedural, I guess, because one thing that I've seen at some of our stations is to go in and reverse the decisions of the prior board or previous decisions that have already been passed. So is this like a motion to reconsider or something? I mean, I remember when this all happened, there was quite a bit of time ahead of time to get this all worked out. And so then it was passed by the board. So is there some kind of motion to reconsider?
Well, I think technically under the Roberts rules, you could qualify this as a motion to reconsider, and I'm probably qualified to move to reconsider as I was not a voting member last year. But this was really more an effort to a good faith effort from the board, and I think the National Finance Committee was interested in entertaining this at the request of management to involve and bring in a discussion with the general managers on these issues. And it was an effort to open lines of communication between us and management on disclosure issues. And so it may be technically a reconsideration, but they felt like they were left out of the picture last year, and so we agreed to have a conversation with them about these issues this year.
William?
I don't think that there's... I'm not a fan of reconsidering things, but it's my responsibility as a board member to be able to question any policy that's been passed by this board, even if it was in 1947 when the board was incorporated. So I just hope people keep that in mind. But my question, or my point, is actually just really minor. It should be resolved that monthly expense items that are at least 10% or at least $10,000, because if there's a 50% item, technically, I mean, I know that wouldn't happen, but it's not included.
So I would assume that you mean at least 10%.
Yep. That's those corrections are fine. I'll add those as friendly.
Thanks.
Dave?
Glad we're friends.
I want to clarify. And this, again, so the issue is you're on the finance committee, you get an income statement, you're going over it, and you're trying to understand what's going on. This is just an agreement to say, look, if this is something that's, you know, like the CPB issue I raised earlier, it's budgeted across the year, but it actually comes in lumps, you know. So that's obviously not a significant change from what anybody expected. We already know it. Rather than demanding that they go through, the managers go through and worry about whether they've reported everything they were supposed to report, we said, anything in here that you know is meaningful and significant, notate it so we know ahead of time what it is, can think about it, ask the right question if we need to. There was consensus on that. They asked, well, what do you mean by meaningful? I think concerned that, you know, somebody would later say, well, you didn't report this. And we just said, look, you know what's meaningful and significant. Just tell us. We get these numbers anyway. We'll ask the question on the call if it's a problem. But it just says, please give us what notice you can to make everybody's work go more efficiently. And I think we did have consensus on it, so I hope people pass it and understand that it's a cooperative approach. And Ron, I think, has something to say to that.
Sarv, Mark.
Mr. Chair, point of order. We're at 3:30, and I'm just wondering, we're just at the finance committee.
Oh, 10 minutes over, sorry.
No, we're more than 10 minutes over. This was something that was going to be this morning, and we still have all these committee reports except governance. We have the ED, the CFO, the station reports. I'm wondering, what are we doing on our time?
Expending it. Because everybody wants.
So can some of these people stop? I would appreciate if some people would stop, because there's a lot to get done, and this is going on and on and on, and I don't think it's fair.
Mm-hmm. Right, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion. We heard from Executive Director and concerns regarding the burdensome nature of all these resolutions that are put before us. And I would move that we take all these resolutions, suggested resolutions that are not approved prior to this time, that we take them back to the committees and reconsider them. Their impact on the manpower resources as well as the financial resources that are available to Pacifica Network, and in all seriousness, look at the report that the executive director has submitted with their concerns and make sure that all the managers are on board in a consensus sort of a way. Mm-hmm. Not that they were there, they said their piece, they went home, and we did not take anything into consideration except for very minimal stuff. So I move that all these resolutions that are pending here, that they be sent back to the Finance Committee.
Point of order.
Is there a second? Yes.
I want to be sure this is a point of order, but I want to point out that the prior motions, which are more onerous, did pass and are in force until they're superseded by anything. So I want to point out that the effect of this resolution would be essentially to mand a more onerous reporting requirement. I don't know if that is a point of order, but that's a...
If I might just respond, we had a good faith meeting, a long meeting with general managers, and at the every end of one of these motions, I specifically read the motion ad nauseum, but at least three times, and I said, is there any objection from anyone? And I made clear on the record, and I wanted to hear, all the managers were present, no one missed the meeting, and they were very much involved in the conversation. And in fact, at times, they were moving. They wanted to move the amendments themselves. And I would also remind the board that the other resolutions do stand in place, and if you wanted to rescind those resolutions, you would need a two-thirds vote in order to accomplish that. So, you know, you leave the burden on the general managers if you don't consider these now. And we worked with the general managers in an attempt to accomplish this very purpose.
Point of information. Would that be okay that if we give the Finance Committee 2 weeks or 3 weeks within which to resolve it and come back to us?
We just did that.
They didn't. They still have general managers that do not agree with you. And there's a CFO, he did not agree with you. So
Would we motion is on the let me go to
a motion was not seconded, so
there are two managers that want to speak to this.
Wait.
I know it was lost for lack
Your motion's not seconded. That was my point of order, and you can't speak on behalf of general managers. Let them speak for themselves.